ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरेः ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत श्री महागणाधिपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारंभां शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् आत्मस्वरूपपन्थगणं लास्ट क्लास वी हैव डन द सेवेंथ वर्स द एइथ अध्याय बिफोर डूइंग द एइथ वर्स आई वुड लाइक टू से आई विश यू ऑल ए वेरी हैप्पी एंड प्रॉस्परस दसरा एंड we all need the blessings of the Universal Mother. Whenever we contemplate upon the cosmic power from which this entire universe has originated, as the mother of the universe, that is how we contemplate. So all the afflictions of the mind get eliminated. Durge smruta harasi bhiti mashesha jantoho. Like that Devi Mahatmyam says, even as we contemplate upon the Universal Mother, there will be courage and a strength of mind within us. So we all need it, and this is the occasion to contemplate upon the cosmic power as the Mother. We need the blessings of the Mother even to gain the knowledge of the Self. Swasthai Smurta Mati Mati Vasubhand Dasi, like that it is said. So now we say the eighth verse. Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena Chetasa Nanyagamina Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati Parthanu Chintayan. Hey Partha, Partha is the address, O Arjuna, Pruthayaha Putraha Parthaha, Pruthayaha Putyam, the son of Prutha. Prutha means Kunti. Her original name was Prutha, so father has given the name Prutha. But then there was the king Kunti Bhoja, so he was the king, Kunti Bhoja Maharaja. So this Prutha went as an adopted child to the palace of Kunti Bhoja Maharaja. That's why she is called Kunti, after the name of the country. Like Kosala Desha, princess of Kosala Desha is called Kausalya. Princess of Kekaya Desha is called Kaikeyi, like that. So the name is taken after the kingdom, like Bharati. That is the name you can see. Many people have the name Bharati, means they take the name after the country Bharat, like that. So she took the name of that kingdom. They call her like that, because now she went to the Kunti Bhoja Desha, so everybody started calling Kunti Kunti. Like that she became Kunti. Her original name is Prutha, and her son's name becomes automatically Partha. In the earlier days, the people used to take the name after the mother. Whereas, somehow at some point, that custom has shifted. So it has, as the society became patriarchal, and then it shifted to taking the name after the father. One can take either after the mother or after the father. Either way, it doesn't matter. But earlier it used to be like that. That's why Rama is called Kausalya Supraja Rama, Purvasandhya Pravartate. Not Dasharathi Suprajaha Rama, not like that. Kausalya Supraja Rama. Kausalya is blessed for having you as her son. That is the way Rama is addressed. So, he Partha. Similarly, he Kaunteya. Occasionally, he Pandava. son of Pandu. But mostly, he Kaunteya, he Partha. There is a reason for it. You see, especially in the context of this verse, Kunti is known as one of the greatest devotees of Lord Shri Krishna. So when it comes to devotion of towards Shri Krishna, so the mind goes to Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is the Bhakti Shastra, you know. So that is the treatise of Bhakti. There, in Bhagavata, the stories of devotees were presented one after another. The first devotee is a lady devotee. That is a Draupadi. Her story as the one of the greatest devotees was presented. In fact, the first verse of Gita in the Bhakta Lakshana, the characteristics of Bhakta, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitrah Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukha Sukha Kshami. That verse applies to Draupadi as it is presented in Bhagavatam, Prathamaskandha, totally. The entire verse can apply to Draupadi in that context. And Draupadi comes out. Her earlier story doesn't put her in the class of top devotees, but her later conduct, especially at the end of 18-day war, her conduct makes her the topmost, top-notch devotee of Sri Krishna. So that is the first story. Then comes the second story in Bhagavatam Prathamaskandha, that of Kunti. Then Bhishma, then Parikshit, like that it continues. So Kunti's story in Bhagavatam is very interesting. So Kunti, she praises the glory of Sri Krishna. And so very beautiful prayer, it is Kunti's stuti. There she asks a boon. Hey Krishna, please grant me this boon. What is the boon? Vipadas santu nashyashvat. Tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunarbhava darshanam. Like that one boon. So, hey Shri Krishna, let there be obstacles and adversities in life for us, occasionally. Because when there is a prosperity, people tend to forget Ishvara. They are more ensnared in the bondages of samsara. It really happens like that. When all the things are going very smoothly, so we are making a lot of money at home, everything is going very smoothly, economy is in the upward cycle, so stock market is rising and we are flying from place to place, the frequency miles is increasing. So like that, everything is on the upward trend. Everything is upward, flights are all running in time, and so everything is cozy, even a small thing is very favorable to us, and the weather is favorable, so everything is favorable. Somehow we end up with a feeling that the samsara, what is wrong with it? It is all okay. Why these people talk like that? The samsara is quite okay, what is wrong with it? They say it is mithya. How it is mithya? See, it is very real and very beautiful. They don't know how to enjoy beauty of the world, all flowers and wonderful nature, and a celebratorial it is all. And so these people come and talk mithya. What mithya? What is mithya? Like that it appears. Really, very beautiful, you know, samsara. They don't know how to enjoy samsara. So like that. But then the calamity comes. Because we are just living on the verge of calamity. It's only a matter of tipping. That's it. You follow. It comes from the, like a bolt from the blue. It comes. And when it comes, my God, the person is in a very serious distress. And he doesn't know how to handle it. Because the more the comfort, the cozy feeling that was there, the more the impact of the calamity that follows. We are devastated and we don't know how to handle it. Then we come to our senses. So now the statements, jagat, mithya, etc., they make us think. Could be there is some truth in it. like that. And then at that time, when calamity is facing, somebody talks about Sharanagati. God bless him. He's talking of Sharanagati. What is Sharanagati? In Sharanagati, you are not responsible for anything. You need not manipulate anything. You need not accomplish anything. All your failures are okay in Sharanagati. So all adversities are okay in Sharanagati. In fact, Sharanagati is meant for handling failures only. When a failure faces me, stares me in my face, I know there is one way to escape from the sorrow of failure, and that is Sharanagati. So like that, if anybody talks of Sharanagati, that is like nectar to the ears. And the mind goes and holds to that idea of Sharanagati. That is the time when a person can understand what is bhakti and all that. Really. That's why it is said very clearly, don't pursue pleasure. Don't resist pain. Because these are the two focal points of the ego. Ego means the isolated ego in a separate body, the sense of isolation from the whole. That is what ego is. And the focal points of ego are two. One is seeking pleasure and the other is not resisting pain. Therefore, when you are capable of receiving the pain or distress or calamity and bearing with it, enduring it, in doing so, you are just neutralizing your own ego. And the more you neutralize your ego, the more you realize your oneness with the whole. And that is Brahmajnana. That is moksha. Very big thing it is. It may sound some kind of a fatalistic or nihilistic approach or whatever, cynical approach. You can give any label. But that is, label is not the point. So the point is neutralizing the ego. Through neutralizing the two major focal points of the ego and thereby providing a platform or an opportunity for knowing the higher truth. My God, very big thing it is. Therefore, vipadas santu nashyashvat tatra tatra jagadguru. Hey jagadguru, please bless us with adversities occasionally, not on a daily basis, tatra tatra. Occasionally an adversity, that is the boon I want. Now, it is now the turn of Sri Krishna to look up and down. What is it she is asking? My God, what a wisdom. And then she has a second boon. Sneha pasham imam chindhi drudham yadushu vrushtnishu. Hey Krishna, I have attachment. Sneha pasha. Sneha is attachment. It is the bondage. Pasha is bondage. So it binds. So it is like a rope binding the person, pasha. And on one side, I have the attachment to my parents and the family of the parents. Coming from Vasudeva's sister, she is. So my brother Vasudeva, how is he doing? What happened to his sons? He is that as this and that. And her own parents. And she has two sets of parents. One who gave birth, biological parents or whatever they call. And then the adopted parents. So very big group of very close relatives. And she is attached to them. And she looks at her, in her heart, I do have an attachment to my home, people of the home. And then I have attachment to these Pandavas, sons, who were in forest for a long time, now came back. And now Dharmaraja is the emperor. And all sons are the princes. And so I now have attachment to this power, position, this and that. Sneha pasham, this attachment is going to bind. Therefore, I request you, my prayer is that this attachment should be neutralized by your grace. These are the two boons. Did you find any bhakta asking for such boons? Very rare. Amazing. And she has nothing more to ask. That's why in Bhagavata she is presented as the kingpin of devotees, disinterested devotion, very, very special, nishkama bhakti yoga. So That's why you are the son of that kind of that great woman, He Partha. You too should pick up a few qualities of her, having been the son of such a great woman, you should have some of her qualities. So what are the qualities now? Nanyagamina. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. So you have to establish two qualities in your mind. Chetas is mind. Chetasa, with the mind. So what kind of mind? Two qualities. One is abhyasa yoga. Yuktena means endowed with. Abhyasa yoga. Second is nanyagamina. It is all one samasa only. Nanyagamina. Anyang ichchati. Anyang gantum shilahasya. Gami is shila. Means the attitude. It is not that it goes into the world occasionally. The mind runs away into the world. So, that is one thing. But the mind is now addicted to the world. Shila. It has become the inner character to run away into the world. To be attracted by the pleasures of the world. That is the meaning of the word gami. Gantum shilam asya. So, nanya gamina. That kind of thing is not there. So, in fact, if you remember the earlier verse in second chapter, so Arjuna asked, how can we command this mind? Shri Krishna said, you need to have mind in your command. You see, the idea is like this. It is not that you have to kill the mind or you have to control it or you have to suppress it. It is not like that. That is not the point. The mind is a tool. You are not the mind. You are not the mind. You are not your mind. The mind is a tool. It is a tool of cognition. Very subtle. Cognition is subtle, you know. Cognition is subtle. Cognition is not a very gross-like thing. You can't say this is the cognition. The cognition weighs 1 kg. You cannot say like that. The very subtle thing it is. Even today, scientists don't know what is this cognition. This is so subtle it is. And so when cognition is subtle, then the tool of cognition, which is mind, must be equally subtle. Indeed, it is very subtle. And so, it is so subtle that there is only one more thing that is subtler than the mind. And that is the awareness absolute. There is nothing else between the Atma and mind that is more subtle. Like that. Very, very big thing. Sattva guna it is. Mind's main characteristic is sattva. So, the Atma doesn't know anything by itself. Atma doesn't know anything by itself. Atma knows everything through the tool of cognition called mind. Vijnanamaya purushaha. So, Atma becomes sarvajna, all-knowing, only through reflection in the mind. Therefore, Atma is the knowingness. It becomes the knower of all through the mind only. It is like diamond. Diamond is not an ornament. Diamond is a stone. It's a gemstone. Very powerful, very hard. Diamond hardness is 10. Nothing more harder than diamond, in a way. So, very hardest item in this world, diamond. Very valuable. This, that. But if you have to have an ornament out of it, you cannot tie it to a rope and put it in your neck. You have to stud it. You have to put it in a golden setting. And then it becomes ornament. Otherwise, you may be holding on to a diamond for any length of time without ever having the glory of the diamond. In a way. Yes, I am telling in a way. So, it has to be put into the setting of a necklace. Then it becomes an ornament. Similarly, Atma is not sarvajna or any such thing. It is absolute, one without the second. But that Atma becomes the knower, even Sakshi, Sakala Buddhi Pratyaya Sakshi Atma, it becomes the witnessing awareness only when the Atma Chaitanyam, universal, infinite, reflects in the mind. Therefore, mind is very subtle. It's like mirror. The mirror reflects the sun. Mind is like that. Very powerful tool. Bhagavan has endowed us with mind. Chetasa. But then it has to be used properly. Like the knife that you use in the kitchen. The kitchen knife, it is blunted, then you cannot cut anything. If you have to cut apple, it doesn't cut the apple. It puts a line of impression on the apple. It doesn't cut the apple. That kind of a knife is useless, you know. You need a knife in the kitchen, especially in the kitchen, you need a knife which is very sharp. Put on the apple, apple cuts into two pieces. You need it like that. So the knife should be sharp and pointed also. So, no, sharp knife cuts the finger, therefore let us not use sharp knives, let us only have blunt knives in the kitchen. Do you do that way? No? So, mind is like that. It is a tool and it should be in very good shape. How can it be in good shape? So two things you have to do. So Arjuna asks, this tool, it has become useless because there is no focus in it. It just disperses itself all around. It is called vikshepa, a state of mind called vikshepa. Vikshepa means dispersal. Vividham kshipyate iti vikshepaha. So take something and throw a piece here, another piece here, another piece here, another piece there. Some above, some below. In all directions you go on throwing pieces. That is called vikshepa. Mind has become like that. So with that mind, how can we accomplish anything? That is the question of Arjuna. So chinchalam hi manah Krishna pramathi balavadrudham. So, tasyaham nigraham manye vayoriva sudushkaram. I am reminding you the verses that have gone by. Because Sri Krishna is repeating almost the same thing here. Not almost, the same thing. He is repeating the same thing. That's why just I am reminding. So this mind, you can make a bundle of air and hold it. But somehow, you cannot bring this mind to any meaningful focus. You cannot collect it. You want to collect it, it gets dispersed. Again you collect it, it gets dispersed. It is like saying, so sit and watch. What should I watch? Watch the breath. Okay. In, out. In, there is no out. Mind has gone somewhere. There is no out. Out will be there, but you don't know it. It has already gone. So again you bring it back. Again in, out. In, out. No, in now. It is gone. It happens 4 or 5 times. You feel, what is going on? Is this meditation? Frustrating. It just doesn't work. So once you get frustrated in meditation, then slowly you will lose that discipline. Very big loss. It's a very big loss. So anyway, you need to have an element of a certain command upon the mind. You need to be able to hold it together, integrate it and hold it together. How to do it? I don't find it is easy and I find it impossible, really speaking. This is the predicament expressed by Arjuna. Then Sri Krishna says, abhyasena cha kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. That is what he said. The same thing is said here. You may wonder, abhyasa is appearing there. Where is vairagya? Nanya gamina is the vairagya. That is vairagya, you know. Another name for vairagya is nanya gamina. So, that is what you really need. Abhyasa and vairagya. Yeah. That is how Shankara also explains it. So, you need to have abhyasa. Abhyasa is the discipline. Abhyasa yoga. So, also, it is called yoga because it's the word means discipline, but also abhyasa helps you to commune with Ishvara. Wherever the word yoga comes, it may mean a chapter, it may mean a discipline, but ultimately it means the communion. You can call it a first canto. Why to call it a first Arjuna Vishada Yoga, So, the canto of Arjuna Vishada, you can call it like that. The second chapter you can call it. Canto means a chapter. The Sankhya canto. What is the third chapter of Gita? Karma canto. Do you call like that? No. You say karma yoga. Sankhya yoga. That yoga has a very big significance. So, we are now talking of a topic which helps us in the communion with Ishvara. That is the yoga. We don't need to make any effort for communion with samsara, because it is like a person in the, a shipwrecked person. He is in the ocean, and so he doesn't need to make a communion with the ocean. So bhavasagara, we are in it already. In fact, the ocean of samsara is such that we are born in the ocean of samsara only. It's not that we were born on the land and then went into the ocean of samsara. It's not like that. We are born in the ocean of samsara. All our childhood is in the ocean of samsara. And college life is also in the ocean of samsara. Then married life is also in the... All marriage has been conducted in the ocean of samsara only. And so it is all one continuous samsara. Entire life is like that. And next life is also like that. Birth and death, it's a cycle. Bhava, 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 bhaya, bhava, tapa, bhito, hum. Shankara in one place says, hey Ishvara, I am tired. I am afraid. I am frightened of this scorching samsara. Because this is samsara sagara, you are in the ocean, I am in the ocean of samsara, and there is a scorching, so much thirst, no water to drink. Water, water everywhere. There is so much water to drown us 100 times over, but not a drop to drink. That is what samsara is. Really. That's why it is always compared with samsara. The sun is beating down from above, and there is a thirst unbearable, and the water is there 1,000 times to drown the person over, but no, not a drop to drink. What a pitiable thing it is. So much money, so many things, so many facilities, so many friends, so much in the relatives, bank balance, this and that, so many things are there. But when the person is in distress, he is utterly alone, I tell you. Nobody can help him. In fact, they pay sympathies. They tell words of sympathy. And on one side, he's suffering. Now he gets a phone call, and now he knows what is that phone. Somebody is phoning to express sympathy to him. This is not sympathy. It is like raking the wound further. So people are with good meaning. There is nothing wrong with them, and people are sentimental also. But sentimentality is not wisdom. Sentimentality doesn't help anybody. Only wisdom helps. Therefore, I am in a big distress. This is the samsara. Bhava bhaya tapa bhito ham. Therefore, the samsara, it just binds us like anything. And the mind, all the samsara is in the mind. Yesterday, the other day I was telling a formula. Vikshipta chitte samsaraha. Samahita chitte na samsaraha. So when the mind is feverishly active, that mind, it is the source of samsara. And when the mind is focused, just focused, means calm and quiet, in that mind there is no samsara. What a thing it is. Suppose I am in distress. Suppose. If somehow I can make it happen. Happen what? Just sit in one place. And start meditating. And find that I am able to focus the mind on something, anything. Doesn't matter whether it can be a mantra or a bhrumadhyā, just focus on the center of the eyebrows. Or just focus on the tip of the nose. Nasikāgram svam samprekṣya. Shri Krishna. So samprekṣya nasikāgram svam. So you do whatever. You just focus the mind on something. Nānya gāmina, let it not run hither and thither, just focus it on something. That moment, your samsara comes to an end. But, I tell you, very hard to do it. Very, very hard. You need to have practice from the beginning. You see, Suppose somebody attacks while going on the road, somebody attacks from behind. So you need to know, you need to protect yourself. So when he attacks, can you practice some protection methods at that time? No, you just wait, let me practice a little and come back. So it will not be possible. Therefore, you have to keep yourself ready. So go to every day morning, go to the gym and work hard and keep yourself ready with self-defense techniques and all that. Why are you doing all these things, self-defense? What for? When somebody attacks, I'll be able to defend myself. So why there is nobody to attack you? Now there is nobody, but he may attack. Suppose he doesn't attack, no problem. I keep good health. Therefore, this is called abhyasa. So one needs to have abhyasa in life. In fact, this word abhyasa is the blessing of Patanjali. It is the inheritance from Yoga Shastra. So the mankind is blessed to have inherited Yoga Darshanam. Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham. So Patanjali has blessed the mankind, that he has endowed the mankind with a system of yoga. And in that yoga, now it is catching up worldwide. So everywhere you go, there is yoga. People are taking to yoga and meditation. So wonderful it is. It is a very heartening thing to know that yoga is becoming popular all over the world. Anyway, what is the main teaching of yoga? Abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodhaha. Patanjali is the nirodha person, I tell you. Yogas chitta vritti nirodhaha. Pahala sutra. Very first sutra is what? Yoga means chitta vritti nirodhaha. In fact, Gita follows the yoga and sankhya to a large extent. If you understand the overall philosophy of Gita, it negates the Purva Mimamsa's schemes for a large extent. To a large extent it negates Purva Mimamsa, and it follows Sankhya and Yoga to a large extent. Ultimately it establishes the Upanishadic philosophy, but on the path it negates Purva Mimamsa to a large extent, and it blesses Sankhya and Yoga to a large extent. This is the overall philosophical spirit of Gita. Anyway, so it borrows a lot of many things from yoga. So abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodhaha. Patanjali talks of nirodha, annihilation of the mind. And on the path of no mind, he presents the focusing of the mind, collecting the mind. As a method, collecting the mind is a dharana. Collecting is this. Focusing the mind is a dhyana. No mind is samadhi. Like that he presents. That is his scheme. So in Vedanta we take up all of that. We need yamaniyama, because otherwise mind will be very fickle. A mind established in yamaniyama can be readily focused. So yamaniyama we need. And asana we need. Without asana, the mind will never be alert and focused. And pranayama we need. If the mind is too fickle for the guy, then he is to do some pranayama. And it is good for physical health also, for blood circulation, for nervous system and all that. And then pratyahara. Pratyahara is nanyagamina. That is pratyahara. You see, suppose the boy is there. The exams are approaching. And the boy is very naughty, running away all the time to the street. India. Here there is nothing to run to street and all that. You have the young boy has to take appointment to meet another boy. So here the situation is different. Here he has to run to Xbox, nothing else. Whereas in India, he can always run to the street and there are so many boys waiting for him to play kabaddi and all that. Kabaddi is the Indian version of national football, I tell you. I have seen this national football, and then the first 2 minutes I felt I have seen this somewhere. I came first time to America and I saw it first time, and then I saw it somewhere. Then somebody told, maybe Swamiji, sometimes they show it on Indian TV also. No, 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 not like that. I have played it sometime in my life, I say. I played this game. When did you play? I thought, what are the games I played? I played Coco and Kabaddi. These are the only two games I played. No other game, you know, because in India we don't play games that require implements. We play games that require hands and legs and mouth. That is all the type of games we play. Then I got it. Yeah, I got it. Kabaddi. In Kabaddi, we hold on to what is called your ability to say, to hold the breath and say the sound. Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi. As long as you are saying it, you are live now and everybody will catch you. You stop saying it, nobody will touch you. Because you are live, not live anymore. So in America, instead of Kabaddi, 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 they hold that ball. Very costly ball. $180 minimum. Very good business also. It is all business. The sports is run by business. In fact, sports, divo, bhakti, temple, church, everything, business people take over all these things. And they put their business through all these channels. Really. So, the business people take to sports in a very big way. And so, they conduct the sports. For example, cricket series is going. It's Coca-Cola Cricket Cup. What, Coca-Cola has got anything to do with the cricket cup? Very interesting. So, they take over the business and they do that. Anyway, so, Kabaddi. That ball is in the place of the sound. But what I was trying to say, so you need to, this child who runs away into the street all the time, because there are kids waiting there to play Kabaddi, and they want him, so he runs away. Now what will you do with that kid? So he has to study well, exams are approaching, all the time running away into the street. Now what should you do? There is only one way. You have to put some sense into the boy's head, and make him understand and restrict, do something or the other. Just he has to understand and study. It won't happen like that. You have to restrict him to some extent. First restrict him, then he will understand. As he understands, your need to restrict him will come down. Further restricting him will not be necessary. But before understanding comes, you have to apply some brakes. So you have to do that. Now, will you do it to the kid or not? You do it. Parents do it. Here also they do, I suppose. They have to do it. Lalayet chitta balakam. The mind is like a kid, a naughty kid, running here and there all the time. Therefore, you have to hold back this mind. That is the discipline. And that discipline is called yoga. Why do you call the discipline yoga? What is the reason to call the discipline yoga? As the mind runs into the world, it gets bound by the world, samsara. It becomes a slave to the samsara. If the mind stops running into the world and abides and focuses, remains focuses, that means what? If the child is not running into the street, where will he remain? The naughty child is not running away into the street. Then where will he remain? He will remain at home. Similarly, the mind is not running away into the things of the world, nanyagamina. Then where will it remain? At home. What is the home of the mind? What is the origin of the mind? Atma, which is Ishvara. Therefore, the mind abides at home, which is Ishvara. Paramam purusham divyam yati. So, the method is yoga. Yoga yuktena. The word is a repetition. There itself there is repetition. Yoga and yukta. So it is like he is a yogi practicing a lot of yoga. Something like that. Emphasis. Yoga yuktena. So yoga is the discipline. Why do you call the discipline yoga? Because I told you, when the child stops running into the street, he will remain at home. Remaining at home in the context of the mind is same as the mind communing with, getting a communion with Ishvara. It is as simple as that. The mind running away into the world is samsara, the mind abiding in its origin, abiding in its source, is Ishvara. That's why all efforts to control or command the mind are called yoga. They are called yoga for that reason. And therefore, you need to have that yoga. Okay, let us command the mind and stop it from running away into the things of the world. So I will do it whenever I want. You cannot do that. You cannot do it whenever you want. So suppose somebody says, what is it that is the goal in this context? The goal is to be able to keep the mind on Ishvara at the time of death. Okay, what a big deal. At the time of death, I'll keep the mind on Ishvara. The rest of the time, let me go into the samsara. No, you will not be able to do that. At the time of death also, the mind will go into samsara only. You have to practice a whole life. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa is practice, repeating again and again. That is called abhyasa. So, even in vyakarana, that is called abhyasa. Purvobhyasaha. Abhyasa is technically called, when a thing is repeated twice, the first one is called abhyasa in vyakarana. But the spirit of the word is retained in Panini's sutra also. Abhyasa means again and again. So, abhyasa vairagyabhyam tannirodhaha. That is the yoga sutra. So, you have to have abhyasa, the practice, and vairagya. It is like this. You have to bring this mind into command so that it is ripe and mature for yoga, mature for communion. It should be mature for communion. That maturity it should acquire. So a fickle mind can never have the communion with Ishvara. How will it acquire the maturity? Abhyasa vairagya. So twofold approach. Suppose you have a problem. You attack it. You attack the problem in a multi-pronged way. Here we attack the problem of the fickleness of mind in a two-pronged approach. One is abhyasa and the other is vairagya. So, nanyagamina. You see, one should be vetaraga. Means one should be passionately dispassionate. That is what it is, vitaraga. So dispassion, that is nanyagamina. Why dispassion? Is it not enough? Daily half an hour we do meditation. Is that not enough? No, not enough. Not enough. In fact, it is a contradiction. And unfortunately, we are caught in our lives in all kinds of contradictions. In fact, if we look at our lifestyles, one need not hesitate to say that we are very complex beings at war within and without. There is a conflict going on. At any given time, there is a conflict going with somebody or the other around. And there is a conflict of interests or whatever you call going within. At any given time, that is the situation. At any given time. I tell you one secret. When you sit for meditation, sama, sameness, now, you look into your heart. Can you look at every individual in this creation who comes into your life, who has come into your life, at every person known to you, related to you or not, but known to you intimately, at every person, can you look at with the sense of equanimity and say, may God bless him, I don't have any, even an iota of ill will towards any person under the sun. Any person under the sun. That is the samatvam. You look into your heart and see whether this question passes muster. This investigation passes muster. You look into your heart and see, can I say there is none under the sun towards whom I have ill will? There is none. Can you say that? When you say that, you tell me, I will tell you what is self-knowledge. It is that clear. Because we have all kinds of wrong notions and all that, and we end up into all kinds of conflicts in life. We divide things into the opposites, and so we are at war, without and within, at conflict without and within. So this situation is not conducive for the maturing of the mind. And so an occasional meditation is not going to do wonders. There are no easy paths. There is no compromise in yoga, I tell you, no compromise in yoga. It is not like some business deal, you give some and take some. It's not like that. Take one, get, purchase one, get one free. It's not like that. It is not like some kind of underhand dealing or compromise. There is no compromise in yoga. Because all compromise signifies that you are not interested in it. And so, because what happens is, we contradict ourselves all the time, undoing the good work of yesterday, today. So this way, as long as the mind gets connected to the world, hooked to the world, no progress will happen, I tell you. No wonder we are stuck. And then detachment, nanyaga, I am explaining nanyagamina. Don't think I am explaining something not connected with the verse. So I do a kind of shakha chankramanam, running here and there, but I come back. I try to come back. Sometimes we forget also. Anyway, dispassion ensures right action. When you are passionate about something, you can never whatever you do cannot be right action. A person who is passionate, he is bound to commit mistakes, if not worse things also. So detachment, the dispassion, it ensures right action. And as the actions they build based on dispassion, so there is no passion behind that action. So an action based on dispassion, so that kind of action, it will build inner bridge between you as an individual and your real being, which is Paramatma. Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati. So Paramam Purusha Divya is not waiting somewhere outside so that you can go and meet and shake hands with him. It's not like that. Ishvara is just sitting underneath as the reality of your being. And so you need to build bridges between you and your real being. You may ask, if my real being is not I, then what am I? I tell you are a shadow of your real being. You are not the real being. You are the shadow of the real being. Because the ego, the persona, the karta bhokta is not real. It is just the shadow. You mean to say our life is a shadow's life? Yes, that is how it is. That is the truth. Therefore, so as you act with vairagya, action will be there. How can there be life without action? Action will be there. But the action won't bind. Mostly, all the actions that we perform, they bind us. So I tell you, there is nothing like a good right action or wrong action. There is only one criterion which tells you what is right action and what is wrong action. An action which binds you is wrong action, and an action which liberates you is right action. Kya baat hai? That is the action. You have to think about it. Really. Therefore, a dispassion, it helps you to perform the right action. And the right action, performed with the real dispassion, it helps you to build bridges to your real being. So, this way, at every stage, sorting out viveka and discarding vairagya is absolutely necessary. Everything you must scrutinize. You cannot run behind anything. Everything you must scrutinize. Every action should be scrutinized. Everything that you accumulate should be scrutinized. Even knowledge accumulation should be scrutinized. So, and whatever is unnecessary, what to speak of harming things, even unnecessary things, should be ruthlessly thrown away. I tell you one thing, truth of the creation. In reality, nothing is of value, I tell you. The truth is, I do not need anything of this world. That is the truth. And I am not going to be hurt or harmed by anything of this world. Nothing of this world can embellish you. Nothing of this creation can harm you. You know the truth and be liberated. That is how it is. Therefore, what is the fun of running behind all the things of the world? So therefore, nanya gamina, one has to be passionately dispassionate. That is the vairagya. That is the lifestyle. Once the lifestyle is like that, I mean, you take your time, but ultimately one has to come to that level. Let us take our time. I don't we should be like that by afternoon lunch time. But that is the goal. Don't expect anything to happen till then. Don't be in a hurry for self-knowledge and tatvamasi and all that. Nothing of the sort is going to happen. So, the other day in meditation I was trying to tell, the word sthira is not sthira. The word sama is not sama. The word table is not table. The word kheer is not, kheer means pudding. The word pudding is not pudding. So word can only signal. So you accumulate words and think that that kind of accumulation also is not going to help ultimately. There is only one way to begin. There is only one beginning point. Nanyagamina. Nanyagamina. Na bahugamina, he doesn't say. Alpagamina, he doesn't say. Nanyagamina. So, in fact, if you want to find the truth, that is the way to approach. Why? Leave alone Atma, Parama, Purusha, Divya, etc. Leave alone all that, even the worldly thing. Suppose you have to find something. How do you go about finding anything? How do you go about it? By keeping your mind and heart in it. That is how you find anything. So, you see, to begin with, you may not have all the qualifications. But as long as you follow the principle of nanyagamina, that means you keep the heart and mind in it, in the goal, so you acquire qualifications. Qualifications will come. And to begin with, you may not have all opportunities. But as you are earnest about the goal, nanyagamina, opportunities will present themselves before you. Nanyagamina means tenacity of purpose. That is called nanyagamina. Don't turn your head this way, that way. That is the idea. Nanyagamina. Physics professor is giving a class on physics, some serious topic of physics, and the student sees this way, that way, backwards, that side. How the professor will feel? He is not focusing on the subject himself, but he becomes a distraction to the professor also. He says, hey, don't turn your head this way, that way. Look at me. Like that he will say. So nanyagamina means, that is the meaning of nanyagamina. Don't turn the head this way, that way. Just keep it focused on the goal of self-knowledge. There is no other goal. There is only one goal. And one should have honesty in pursuit. It is not to impress others or impress somebody other than oneself. There must be honesty in purpose. Then tenacity of purpose and honesty in pursuit takes the person to his goal. So I tell you, we should be devoted to our goal. And when we are devoted to our goal of gaining the knowledge of the self, that is the only thing worth doing in this world. Ishvara sakshatkara, in the language of a devotee. Atma sakshatkara, in the language of Vedanta. Both are one and the same. So that is the goal, and we should be devoted to that goal. Then automatically, a clean and orderly life follows, it falls in place automatically. Nanyagamina is very important. Because what happens is, we live a life and do some meditation, live a life, and next day morning we are at the same point, no further progress. Because meditation gives a little quietude and the life makes the mind totally agitated and hyperactive. And so next day morning, so where is the progress? There is no progress. A Kopastha Manduka story. So this frog of the well, it wants to come out of the well into the open world and reach the ocean. That is its goal. So it has to come out of the well a few feet above. And so in every time it jumps, it progresses 2 inches or two feet. And it slips down 2.5 feet. Now, how many, after what time it will reach the top? It will not reach the top, it will remain where it is. So, you gain a little progress in abhyasa. Abhyasa is meditation. Abhyasa means practice. Practice of what? Yoga, what will you practice? So, suppose you have to do exercise, physical exercise. So go to the gym and put all the machines on every electric machine and sit in a sofa and watch. Is that practice or what? In fact, to do exercise, you don't need any machine. You have already, all machines you have yourself. Hands are machines. So you want to do exercise, you ask me, I'll tell you. Start doing this. That is the, why machine, why do you need a machine to do that? You do it. That is exercise. So, do with legs, karmendriya. Exercise is karmendriya. Give rest to this karmendriya. Speech, give rest to it. Hands or legs are the karmendriya. Exercise is what? Doing karma. Will you do karma with the stomach or chest? No. Because they are not karmendriyas. There are only two karmendriyas, hands and legs. Move them. Start moving. That is exercise. That's it. So, similarly, yoga means what? Jumping here and there? No. Yoga is about mind. Yoga chitta vritti nirodhaha. Okay, if not nirodha, then samadhana. Patanjali says nirodha. And we say samadhana. Over. That is the only point we differ with him. And none else. We are okay with him in every entire other things. As far as the mind is concerned. Therefore, so you need to do abhyasa. But for abhyasa, for practice of yoga, abhyasa yoga, abhyasa itself is yoga. So you need to have a proper lifestyle. And that lifestyle is defined by the word nanyagamina. So Shankara here, na anyatra vishayantare gantum shelam asya iti nanyagami, etc. Therefore, one thing, vairagya. Then the other thing is abhyasa. First vairagya, then abhyasa. It is said the other way, abhyasa vairagya abhyantan nirodhaha. Abhyasa is the discipline, vairagya is the lifestyle. Two-pronged approach. Lifestyle should support the discipline. That is the idea. Lifestyle is in one direction, discipline in another direction, like that frog. It becomes like that frog. No progress will be there. Therefore, first thing is first. That's why Patanjali, he puts Yamanayama in the first place. He doesn't put Abhyasa in the first place. Abhyasa begins with asana, and that is the third, first limb of yoga, of eight limbs. The first one is Yama, second one is Niyama. That is life. And if you look at Yamanayama, the elements of Vairagya are very profound. One is aparigraha, non-accumulation. That is Vairagya. And then if you come to Niyama, Ishvara Pranidhana, that is one of the Niyamas, Sharanagati, self-surrender to Ishvara, that is Ishvara Pranidhana, that is a Niyama. So Yama Niyama, they have the elements of Vairagya very beautifully, only the words are different, one and the same. Therefore, first the lifestyle is defined, it is put in place, Nanyagamina, then begin the Abhyasa, discipline. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Abhyasa means, like the abhyasa should reach the levels of, initially the level of taking food. How long should we practice meditation? As long as we take food, we practice meditation. The idea is like this, Meditation is a mental effort, not physical, mental. Physical is involved to begin with, but it is a mental effort. Mind is the product of food. Annamayagum hi somya manaha, chandogya. So the food that you eat constitutes the mind. It manufactures the mind. If you eat sattvic food, the mind will be sattvic, etc. Therefore, as long as we take food, we will have the ability for exerting at the level of the mind. That's why I said, as long as we consume food, we have to practice meditation. That is abhyasa. That is first stage of abhyasa. Then the second stage, as long as we breathe, we practice meditation. In fact, meditation should, this word abhyasa, meditation should not be an enforced labor. I always say this. Like exercise, you should be happy that the time for exercise has come. Come on, like children are happy to play, right? They're happy to play. You study from 3 to 4:30, then you can go and play out for 1 hour. So the child will be studying hard. At 4:30, finish the homework and go out for playing. Then the child is, it finishes the homework. It exerts itself and finishes the homework. The moment the homework is finished, throws the book away and pen and paper and runs into the street. It is not saying, oh my goodness, now I have to go and play, exert myself. So, like that it won't say, because it loves playing. Similarly, we also should love physical exercise. Our time for physical exercise, my God, what a wonderful thing. So drop everything and go for walk. Something like that. You have to befriend the abhyasa, whether it is physical exercise or mental effort like meditation. So you have to befriend sitting meditation. Oh my goodness, now we have to sit cross-legged. Okay, chalo, we have now sit cross-legged. Now what will he tell? What else he will tell? He will tell, watch the body. Okay, watch the body. Kya badi baat hai? Watch it for a while. And then he will tell, watch the breath. Okay, watch the breath going in and coming out. What a big deal. Watch it for a while. And then already how much time? So Guptaji must have come back by now. So it is already 20, 25 minutes. So another 2 minutes, over, meditation is over. And then anticipation. So like that, the meditation is an enforced labor. It should not be like that. Meditation should not be an enforced labor. You should befriend meditation. You should love meditation. Then that is yoga, abhyasa yoga. How will it happen? How can anybody befriend meditation? Because you should not anticipate anything, you should not think anything, you should focus this, you should focus that, and you should not look at the time. And so how can we love it? How can we befriend it? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. How it is possible? Patanjali. Dirghakala nairantarya satkara sevito drudha bhumihi. That is the sutra for abhyasa. So you have to do it dirghakala. A long time you have to do. Yeah, we are doing for a long time. Since the last, as far as I remember, I am doing this meditation since the last 20 years. Not like that. Nairantarya. Are you doing it in the last 10 years without breaking any day? Are you doing like that? No, no. We do it occasionally, once in a week or once in a month or whatever. Not that way. Nairantarya. Without break. Suppose breaks come, what to do? Breaks may come. The spirit of it, the word you have to take. So suppose the breaks come, then what should we do? We'll come back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Krishna Namaste.
11:20, but then add another 5 minutes.